this is Mika from Timber Tambor, and you're listening to CKUT 90.3 in Montreal. Awesome, very cool.
Good evening. It's 6 o'clock. You're listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM and at CKUT.ca, the show about theater on the radio, from drama to musicals to burlesque to comedy and everything in between, professional, student, and community productions in and around Montreal, the island also known as Jojage in the Ganiagaha language and Muniang in Anishinaabemowin, where we spell theater with an R-E at the end. I'm your host, Sarah De A, live in studio on this rainy Thursday, August the 10th, 2018. And 23. On tonight's show, tons of guests, tons of conversation. A very happy Pride to you. The festival wraps up on Sunday. We're going to check in again with Dane Stewart, the host, writer, and producer of Resurrection, a fabulous audio series that you can get on your podcast feed. It is about a man who spent time living in Montreal, a bisexual playwright named Daryl. This whole story was inspired by a stack of his love letters and writing that Dane got from a friend. He then spent 5 years reconstructing Daryl's story. It's a moving piece. We'll check in with Dane in just a moment. And then coming up, new leadership at Montreal Improv. The tiny Saint-Henri Theater is going strong under the leadership of Melanie McCrae, artistic director. She'll tell us about her vision for the improv scene and theater space, and we'll find out more after that chat with Dane. Then, if you missed Feather Gardens last summer at Hudson Village Theater, a chance to catch up with this brand new play from Jimmy Blay, the playwright. He's also the head guy at Geordie. We'll check in about the family fair coming up later this month. He is presenting a reading of Feather Gardens, which is about land, indigenous rights, and also neighborly relations. It's getting a reading on Monday evening at Place des Festivals as part of Présence Autochtone, the First Peoples Festival. And before the end of the hour, the Quebec Drama Federation is launching a new initiative to highlight English theater companies. It also provides new writing opportunities. This is something you might want to check out. Couple days still left to apply if you'd like to be a part of the Overture. We'll touch base with Kat Preston, who is Communications Manager at Quebec Drama Federation. I'm joined in studio by Xander. Hello, Xander. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good, pretty good. Love the weather out here.
Yeah,
I love
did you
it.
Get caught in the rain?
Just the back end. You know what? I love the rain. I love it when I'm inside.
Yes.
I am dreading leaving the studio today.
I know, but hey, the good news is they actually just lifted the severe thunderstorm watch from Montreal. It looks like we're going to have potential for showers, a few showers for the next couple of hours. So if you're getting around tonight, we hope that you are staying dry and well, that you've got your rain boots and your umbrella, whatever you need it is to stay dry and happy. It's 18 degrees right now at the airport. All that and more coming up on Upstage this evening. Stay tuned. And actually, before I let you go, what I'm going to do here is play the trailer from Resurrection. This is the podcast Dane Stewart created. It's a fabulous series that you should check out if you haven't yet. So we're going to play that so you get a taste of it. We'll call Dane, get him on the line, and have a conversation in just a moment.
Way that I can't even define. I can't. We were essential until we weren't anymore.
This is a preview for a new podcast called Resurrection.
One thing about Daryl is he had an awesome laugh.
Coming in June 2023. It's a big gay love story that spans decades. It's a story so big, it's taken me 5 years to put it together.
Oh, Dane, wow. Did you have any idea when you first got excited about this, the way in which it could take over your life?
I'm Dane Stewart. 5 years ago, I was given hundreds of pages of old, handwritten love letters, written by a man named Daryl Allen.
August 7th, 1979. Dear Danny, I love you.
Daryl was a playwright, living in San Francisco.
It was gay Mecca, San Francisco.
Daryl dreamed of having his plays performed on stage, plays about gay struggles, plays like this.
If we had the dance with me.
Paul, don't get that look.
Before Daryl's plays found success and fame, before he got a real shot at being an artist, his life was cut short.
The doctor turned around and said, you know, you're HIV positive and we're going to have to do this differently.
Daryl died from AIDS in 1991, before any of his plays were produced professionally. I made a promise to give Daryl's art the platform he never got when he was alive.
Sounds to me like your heart's in the right place.
I've spent years learning everything I can about Daryl, tracking down his friends, his lovers, and even visiting his home in Kansas.
Hello, we're in Kansas.
That is trying to find the farm trailer for Resurrection, an incredible podcast series that debuted earlier this summer in June by Dane Stewart, who is a Montreal-based writer and researcher. And he is the host of this amazing series. I've really enjoyed it. There's 7 episodes to check out. Since it's officially Pride in Montreal, parade's happening on Sunday. Hopefully everything will go according to plan this year. Starts at 1 p.m. at Metcalf and René Lévesque. Thought it would be nice to check back in with Dane, see how the response has been to this amazing series, and also just to commemorate Pride a little bit here in Montreal. Dane Stewart is the host, writer, and producer of Resurrection. It is available now wherever you get your podcasts, and Dane joins us on the line. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for having me on.
Thanks for coming back to Upstage. Congratulations. All the episodes are now out. You must feel amazing.
Oh, it feels amazing, but also I'm kind of tired now.
I can understand. This has been an odyssey of some 5 years, right?
It has been. It has been. It was 5 years of work putting together, and we released it over the past 2 months. So it's been a lot of work, but I'm really proud of how it's turned out and how people are responding to it. And I'm also, you know, taking the liberty to take a couple of naps this month.
Well, you deserve it, Dane. I do want to touch base with some of the nice response that you've been getting, because you've been highlighted by a lot of people who follow podcasts and recommend them to people. Can you tell us about some of the highlights for you in terms of being on best of lists and some props that you've been getting?
Absolutely. I mean, when we first launched, we were featured by Apple Podcasts Canada, which was really amazing of them. And it helped us to spread the word initially. And from there, things just kind of jumped around to different locations. It was really cool to hear some folks talk about us on Radio-Canada here in Quebec. We had an article in CBC last week. And also, we've had some like wild pieces just pop up in other countries. So we were on like a best of list for The Guardian in the UK, in a newspaper in the Netherlands. I did a radio interview in Australia 2 weeks ago. It was at 3 a.m. our time, so a little bit uncomfortable, but it was pretty cool to chat with people on the other side of the world about this story.
As a radio producer, I've had to put in those requests where you're basically asking someone to come on at 10 p.m. at night or at like 4 a.m. their time. It is wild. But at the same time, you worked on this for 5-something years. And so to be working on something for so long and then to release it into the world and the world wants to know you and the work must be a pretty amazing thing. Like you would be there in person at 3 a.m. if they asked, right?
I would be. I mean, I would definitely go to Australia in person if they would front the plane ticket.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, so I just want to reset, and I think the way this whole thing came to be was so extraordinary. Telling Daryl's life is actually a friend of yours who knew Daryl back in the day. Daryl passed away in the early 90s. A friend said, "Hey, I've got something for you, Dane." Why did he bring these letters up?
Well, let's tie it all up nicely. It actually all happened because of the Pride Parade, which, as you mentioned, Sarah, is happening this Sunday. But this was the Pride Parade back in 2016 when I met this gentleman, a gay gentleman, who's in his 60s. His name is Dan Wiley, at the Black Eagle, L'Aigle Noir, in the Village, after the Pride Parade. And we ended up becoming friends. And he's a bit of a theater enthusiast, so he came to see a play that I wrote and directed. a couple of years ago. And after he saw that play, that's when he was inspired to give me the work that Daryl had been writing. We met up at a cafe and he ended up giving me Daryl's script. And that kind of started the entire process, reading Daryl's play, sort of comparing it to my own life and Daryl's life to my own life. And then I went back to Dan, and he also revealed he had hundreds of pages of handwritten love letters from Daryl. So, I mean, as a sort of a history nerd, that's the dream, to be handed someone's personal archives, something that reveals such sort of intimate and vulnerable emotions, and something that hasn't yet been shown to the world.
We're speaking with Dane Stewart, who is the host, writer, and producer of Resurrection, which tracks the tale of Daryl Allen, who has connections to Montreal, died in 1991 from HIV and AIDS. And Dane is, we're just checking in because the whole series is now available online, and it is Montreal Pride right now. So Dane, you've gotten lots of great notice. The story's out in the world. It's nice to be featured on Best of Podcast lists. What kind of response have you had from friends and family here in Montreal and back home who've had a chance to hear this? People who are not like podcast watchers, what have people been saying?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm from Nova Scotia originally. I moved to Montreal. Well, my God, I actually don't want to figure out how many years ago right now. But,
you're a Montrealer now through and through, Dane.
I'm a Montrealer now. And I have been hearing from people back home who have kind of lived a small town life for many years, both friends as well as some high school acquaintances who I haven't spoken to in years, who happen to listen to the podcast. This is the cool thing working in podcasts is, you know, anyone anywhere can choose to listen to the story. But it's been really heartwarming to see people recognize the challenges that queer folks have gone through in the past and are still faced today, and to sort of adopt the empathy. I think that's one of the lessons we try to communicate in the podcast, is Daryl had this sort of joie de vivre and this empathy that he carried with him in his life, where he was always able to sort of look at someone and see their story and see them for who they were and recognize that, you know, the person they were was the a composite of all the things they'd been through in their lives. I've been getting a bit of that feedback from folks back home, saying that they're able to kind of have more empathy for folks who are maybe from more marginalized communities now.
So there's, like, I'm getting the hint of a very strong universality when it comes to Daryl's story, especially when it came to, you know, his personal archives, as well as his work, you know. So we can definitely say that there's a lot that reaches even people outside of the art world. You don't have to be particularly queer to really relate. But what really spoke to you specifically when it came to Daryl's work or his love letters and so on?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question and a very astute observation. I think that was one of our objectives in writing the show was, you know, you take the personal and you find the universal that's inside it. And that's how you tell a story in a way that people are going to want to listen and they're going to be able to relate to it. But what spoke to me specifically was looking at the parallels between Daryl's life and my own life. I mean, he was a playwright. I'm a playwright. He's bisexual. I'm gay, but we both sort of had that element of dealing with sexual attraction to people of the same gender. So that was a big element of it. But the thing that really struck me, and you'll hear this in the first episode, for anyone who's listening, if you head over and listen to Resurrection, it was the shame. And I think that's something that's really valuable to speak about during, you know, Pride. We celebrate Pride as a response to the shame that so many of us queer folks feel growing up. And I saw that in Daryl's letters, in his scripts, that as he was coming to terms with his bisexuality through the 60s, the 70s, and the 80s, he was always struggling with this shame. And it's something that I felt, you know, growing up in my small town in Nova Scotia as well, really resonated with me.
Dane, is anyone else handing you stacks of letters from playwrights they knew, wanting you to tell more stories about queer playwrights and artists? What's going to be next for you?
with a big question, Sarah. No one has come forward to me with another stack of personal love letters that they've kept locked away in a chest for the past 40 years. So if you're out there, please feel free to contact me. But we are working on a few story ideas right now. One thing that I'm leaning towards, but we'll see how it pans out, is an examination of sort of the institutions of the leather community in the gay world. So there's an event called the International Mr. Leather Contest that's kind of like a beauty pageant for leather folk. And it's very sexy, but I think we're at a moment in time when there's a bit of a moral panic around, you know, talking about it, like the sex that's inherent to, you know, queerness. And so I'm kind of intrigued by the idea of like diving into that topic head on and telling it through like very, very personal stories, sort of humanizing that that subject matter.
Well, whatever you end up delving into, we will be listening. Dane, congratulations again.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
It's been so awesome to have you on and to listen to the podcast. And happy Pride. Enjoy this weekend. I hope you'll be at the parade having fun.
Oh, I will be. And I hope to see everybody there.
And yeah, if you have a stack of letters, don't hesitate to hand that over to Dane. He's looking for stories. Okay, take good care, my friend.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
That is Dane Stewart, who's the creator of Resurrection. So if you'd like to follow that whole series about the remarkable Daryl Allen, please do have a look at resurrectionpodcast.com. The series is actually also taking support via Patreon as well, if you'd like to contribute, because it takes a lot of time, effort, and money to put together a podcast. And Dane and his team have really put together something remarkable. We're hearing a little bit from Rev here, who is going to be performing at the party that concludes Pride, the parade on Sunday. She'll be performing at the Big O, big outdoor free show, very fun. You can look up Fierté Montréal to get more on programming. There's still a couple days left on the festival. You're listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM. It is 6:17. When we come back, we're going to find out about the new leadership at Montreal Improv. Melanie McCrae will be our guest. Stay tuned. That is singer Rev, who has connections to Montreal. She will be performing as part of Montréal Fierté Pride. She'll be at a live show at Big O after the parade. The parade will be on René Lévesque, headed eastbound, starting at Metcalfe and René Lévesque at 1 p.m. The Moment of Silence, which honors victims of transphobia, homophobia, bigotry of all kinds, shapes, and form, of which we've seen too much of this year, unfortunately. But of course, we're thinking of people who've been fighting for equal rights for decades, years, centuries. That moment will be at 2:30 p.m. and it'll wrap up at René Lévesque and Alexandre de Sèvres. So happy Pride to everyone who marking out to everyone, actually. You're listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM. Our next conversation this evening is the new boss at Montreal Improv. Now, Montreal Improv, I think, is a beautiful space. You can take classes on improv. It's not just good to get out of your shell or learn to be funnier if you want to be on stage, but studies also show that doing improv is good for your health. It stretches those creative muscles, and it's just good for you overall. So take a class if you haven't yet, or maybe take one if you haven't been in a while. You can also check out lots of really funny shows. There's performers of all talents and different talent levels and languages and backgrounds performing there as well. Now, Montreal Improv shut down in the early part of the pandemic, and I was very concerned to see, you know, what is the future of the improv scene, the future of this space in particular. A new owner came in, bought the, I guess, the name and the rights, and it ended up moving to St. Henry. There's been a recent changing of the guard as well to take note of. Mel McCrae is the new artistic director, and she's also a longtime performer and storyteller. And I thought, hey, I should get her on the line. I want to find out how things are going. Mel joins us on the line. Hello.
Hi, Sarah. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for joining Upstage again. Congratulations on taking over. How does it feel?
Oh, it feels great to be within this nice community, to be of service to them, to offer them classes and shows that they want, that I've heard them ask. So it feels really, it's a good feeling to be there.
Now, it is a big responsibility to be running a venue that not only has shows happening several times a week, but also classes. What has it been like for you just personally stepping into this organizational role?
I mean, to me personally, my background is in public administration, and I have a specialty in process improvement. I just wanted to improve a few things to make things run smoother for us business-wise. But artistic-wise, I just wanted to give the stage more stage time to our students and just create more slot in the schedule for our student shows so that they can have some time to practice what they learn in class. Because we also do rent our venue for musicians, and because we have a music show tonight there for comedians and other type of events. But I wanted to rein that back just a little bit, just to give more stage time to our students.
And what is your vision overall for the kind of community that you're creating, you know, besides making more opportunities for younger performers?
Yeah, thank you for asking that question, because to me, what is important about improv is the community and having events that are not necessarily improv specific. Last week we had karaoke, we had a good turnout, and it was really a fun event to see. So my vision for the community is to create more a space where people can just mingle and get to know other performers and create connection beyond your regular classroom so that people can have a sense of belonging as well. Because I feel that sometimes that's missing. And when people feel that they belong, when people feel that they're welcome, there's a better sense of ownership of the space. Because I'm just in charge of making sure things are okay, but the space is not mine. It really belongs to the student and to the community.
Oh, well said. Mel McCrae is the artistic director at Montreal Improv. They're located on Notre-Dame. Been there for just a couple of years, but if you haven't been there in a while, that might be new to you. So they're located in St. Henry, just a short walk away from Lino-Gru Metro Station. Classes and shows at montrealimprov.com. So Mel, you have a background in public administration, so you're like just the best person to be doing this sort of thing. How is business? Like, how is that going? Because it's hard to run a venue in this city.
Oh my God. In this city, there's a lot of things to keep up. We have neighbors, making sure our neighbors are aware of the activities that we do. So we are aware of their activities. It's really a lot about being nice and making sure, you know, we respect each other's goal to achieve something. Because if I have a good business, my neighbors are also going to have good business and good, you know, by being good neighbors, we protect each other and we can grow together. So I think that's really, really important. So that's really speak about more about keep following the rules and the laws, because there's a lot of tiny little rules. But I do feel that when those things are being respected, and it's easy to keep going and to do that for the community.
So I'm hearing like a lot of aspirations with creating this, you know, or fostering this really collaborative community, right? And mm-hmm. justifiably so, there are so few third spaces in the city, like places where people can go and simply, you know, be a community without having, you know, the strain to just constantly pay for drinks or whatever to be patrons of a place. So there's a lot of aspirations when it comes to creating this place. So what are your ideas of maybe, say, best case scenario, things go amazing? What would you like to expand to if you do have any plans for that?
Oh, thank you so much, Zander. I appreciate that question. So we do run, when it comes to improv, we run two types of shows. We run shows that are produced by independent producers who are typically students who've been there for a while. And there are other shows that are produced by Montreal Improv. Those tend to be your grad shows. Those tend to be your student shows. And if Montreal Improv is producing a show, well, we try to make those shows free for our Montreal Improv community. So if your student shows produced by us are free, our grad shows are always free for everyone because we want to make improv accessible to the entire public. We want you to invite everyone, your mom and your grandma, to come and see this. So we try to do that to create those spaces. We also try to work out arrangement with different performers, although they're part of the improv community, but they're not improv specific. Like on Tuesdays, we have stand-up Saint-Henri. And the goal is really to give a safe space for those comedians. Elspeth is a comedian, but it's to give those comedians a safe space to practice their art. And that's really important to us to maintain that.
I think that's really beautiful. I think it's incredibly important to have a space where it's okay to say, practice your art, but to also, you know, sometimes make mistakes, sometimes, you know, fail upwards, as it were, I suppose, when it comes to really shaping a lot of your humor, a lot of your performances, where the pressure isn't necessarily, you know, on to get the lauded, you know, to fulfill the lauded mission statement of getting butts in seats, so to speak.
Yes, you're right, Zander, because part of improv too is, like, the way I see it is sometimes you're going to have a great show and you're feeling like you're walking on a cloud, and other days you're just going to have a show. Those are the days where you're like, oh, shoot, I could have done this. But the reality is the people who came to see you are also, we have a lot of other performers and students who come to see us. So they're here to support you. So it's really a safe environment to practice what you learn in the classroom.
Mel McCrae is the artistic director at Montreal Improv. You're also a funny performer as well, Mel. When can we see you on stage next?
Yes, so coming up, it's on Friday, August 18 at 9:30. It's called Improv Against Humanity. It's a comedy show for horrible people. So we're, and Sarah, you're our host for that show.
Yeah, it's like, that sounds familiar. I'm going to be there.
You have hosted last time when it was for Women's Day, and thank you for hosting again next week. So this round is going to be a woman and non-binary edition. All of the performers are going to be women and non-binary, because I've noticed that we play differently when we're together. It creates a different type of humor. We reach deeply into the darkness of those cards. I decided, you know what, let's do another round of that. It's just beautiful to see those ladies and non-binary folks let go of all of the expectations that they could have had about doing improv and just do it fully.
It's not for people who get easily squicked out, I must say, and I'm unfortunately in that category. I've had to grow up a lot by coming to this show. It goes places.
Yeah, so this is an improvised comedy show based on the Cards Against Humanity, and those cards have... Yeah, they have everything under the sun as suggestions. It's a fun card game. Imagine doing scenes. Right now I have the game in front of me. And, you know, using different... harnessing the power of steam. Imagine seeing a scene about the harnessing the power of steam. It's really, there are other cards that I feel it might not be the best time to read them right now, but imagine using that to do improvised comedy.
It's going to be so fun. Friday, August the 18th at 9:30. Mel, thank you so much for taking time to join Upstage.
Sarah and Zender, thank you so much for having me on the show. I really appreciate you giving space to the Montreal community and to talk about the community, and your work is really appreciated.
Oh, thank you so much, Mel. We'll see you soon, okay?
See you soon. Have a good evening.
You too. That is Mel McCrae, Artistic Director at Montreal Improv. You can check out shows and classes at montrealimprov.com. Tons of things happening there. Several shows happening this weekend as well. And I will be hosting Improv Against Humanity Friday, August 18th. That is next week, 9:30. It is going to be down and dirty, Xander, if I see you there. You're listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM. The time is 6:30. Still to come on tonight's show, we'll touch base with Jimmy Blay. His show did premiere at Hudson Village Theater last year. If you didn't get out to Hudson last summer, like a year ago this month, you can catch a reading of it at Place des Festivals on Monday, part of a wonderful festival called Présence Autochtone. And then before 7 o'clock, are you a writer and looking for new opportunities to get your work out there? Quebec Drama Federation is launching a new initiative. They're looking for writers and they're looking for subjects. We'll find out more when we return.
Did you undergo a strip search at Riviere des Prairies or Bordeaux detention centers between October 11, 2016 and March 20, 2020? If so, you could receive up to $2,000 per eligible strip search. Hurry, you have until March 5, 2024 to fill out the claim form. Visit proacitio.ca/searches or call us at 1-866-369-5118. To check your eligibility and fill out a claim form.
Welcome back to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM, the show about theater on the radio. I'm your host, Sarah Day, here with Xander in studio, plugging right along. Before the end of the hour, we're going to find out about what the overture is and how you can get involved. But at first, I wanted to touch base with someone I think is a very great part of our community. Jimmy Blay is a writer, also director at Geordie Theater, fabulous theater company for kids and families. And he wrote a play that tackled many different topics, topics, including Indigenous rights and culture, as well as the concept of finding artifacts. Who do they belong to? It was also fundamentally about neighborly relations. Feather Gardens got its premiere with Hudson Village Theater a year ago this month with some very talented performers. There was a stage reading at the Siegel Center last season, and there's going to be another one on Monday evening. This is free. It's happening at the Quartier des Spectacles, Place du Festival, as part of Présence Autochtone, fabulous festival in English known as First Peoples Festival, celebrates the work of Indigenous communities, not just here, but around the world. And there's music, dance, lots of cultural programming happening from here until next week. I thought we should check in with Jimmy, see how he's doing. He joins us on the line. Welcome to Upstage.
Hey, Sarah. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. Are you having a busy summer? How are you doing?
Doing great. Things are busy at Geordie. Things are busy with Feather Gardens. It's a really great, exciting time to be creating theater at the end of the summer.
That's beautiful to hear. Okay, so Feather Gardens, I want you to reset some of the story for us. We meet Oscar. He's someone who likes to tool around with metal detecting. So he's got a little machine and he goes around kind of trying to see if he can find hidden treasure, basically.
Yeah, I mean, he does some metal detecting on his property. He's a little bit of a hobbyist, and he finds something that he thinks might be valuable, and it's clear to him that it's probably Indigenous of sorts, so he decides to take a little bit of a voyage over across the Hudson River to Gunasatage, where he meets two people, one of whom is a pretty big joker, and they kind of take him for a ride.
Yeah, so this is Vernon and Tommy, and they're having fun. And it sounds like it could be something that's more freighted and heavy. I know this guy has a lot of ideas about what he's found. Maybe these guys are trying to pull something over him, but it is a comedy. Like, it's meant to be, it's in jest, but it is lighthearted.
Yeah, it is lighthearted. I mean, that was the kind of the goal when I was commissioned. Dean Fleming, the artistic director at Hudson Village Theater, called me up and asked me if I'd be interested in writing a play. And I said, yeah, on one condition, that would be comedy. And he was like, yeah, for sure. So that was kind of the first idea, was that I was to write something that was going to be funny. And one of the things that Dean talks about a lot that I agree with and kind of have adapted into my own practice is that when you're dealing with stories, I think the easiest way to get people to open up and to react and to listen is to get them to laugh first. I think there's an old thing. I don't remember who said it first, but I think it's like opening them up with laughter and then jam the truth down their throat.
What a saying.
Yeah. And so I think that's what this play does. I mean, it you know, comedy is really hard to write. But I think it's kind of funny. And then, you know, we do talk about some pretty serious stuff. And that's not what happens a lot of the time. A lot of the time when you're dealing with Indigenous characters, Indigenous stories, and Indigenous issues, you know, they're more than often, I think, there's a heavy element to it. And that's not the direction I want to go in. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. I just feel like there's also an opportunity to tell stories in different ways, and one of them is to get people to laugh. Laughing is such a big part of everybody's life and everybody's day-to-day. It's especially a big part of, I think, First Nations people's day-to-day. There's a saying that laughter is medicine. Our stories are medicine. Those two things go hand in hand. So yeah, we laugh a bit with Feather Gardens, but we also talk about some pretty serious stuff.
Yeah, I wanted to get into that. For you as an Indigenous writer, what were some of the themes? Because I feel like the play covers so much. What were some themes that you were personally really interested in learning more about and digging into, and then, you know, turning around and being able to convey to your audience with a smile or two?
Yeah, I think the first natural one for me was thinking about Hudson and thinking about Gunasatage, how they're so close together in proximity, and nothing really kind of separates them except for a river. But they're completely different places. They can't be, they're pretty different. And so I sat there and I thought about how similar they are in everything else, but in a cultural context, you know, so like they share the same water, they share the same animals, they share the same trees and the same types of grass. And, and so there's this one thing that kind of separates them. So I decided to just take a look at the river and what the river has meant to that, to those two communities for quite some time. And one of the things that popped up was the flooding that's taken place over the last, I don't know, I'd say 7 or 8 years. Two of those years have been like severe flooding, where it's actually caused a lot of people to lose their homes and was quite dangerous. And so that's one of the themes. Another theme is the idea of borders, how borders are really like a man-made creation. Yet this river is probably the only true border that would ever exist if these two towns weren't developed the way they've been. So that's one thing I wanted to look into. Another thing was like land, and the idea of owning land and who owns what land or who thinks they own land and why do they own land. So those are probably the three big ones for me.
There's such huge, huge themes to get into, but I think it's a testament to the power of theater and storytelling that you can, you know, you're not trying to have all the answers in the course of a play, but you're just trying to put questions into people's heads. Do you feel like you've accomplished that now that you've had the run at Hudson, you've had some public readings, this one's coming up? Are you satisfied with the response?
Yeah. In revisiting it like a year later, we had a rehearsal yesterday, and I think I did. I think you're right. I think asking the questions is always the thing we should be striving for. I don't think we should be beating people over the head with anything. Pardon me. And I think this play does that. I think it makes folks think, which is also an important part of question asking. Because if you ask a question, hopefully the answer isn't immediate to somebody and to an audience, right? I think they should be thinking as well about what that means. And in this case, it's about all those three things that I talked about and much more. So to answer your question, yeah, I think Feather Gardens does that pretty well.
We're speaking with playwright Jimmy Blay, who is going to be presenting his play Feather Gardens as part of Présence Autochtone this Monday evening. He's also going to be part of the reading. So you're going to get to perform as well, Jimmy, on Monday evening, which is nice. So it was commissioned by Dean over at Hudson Village Theater. Any word on whether this play is going to be, I just can imagine that there might be a hunger for a story like this, but to be told in different places across the country.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that it's pretty transferable. In cleaning up the script recently, I kind of, added a little note to that in kind of my playwright notes. No concrete plans yet for another production. I think we're all really kind of ready for it. I know as a playwright, I am the third reading we've done in the last 10 months or so. Readings are great. I love doing readings and sharing the work, but I'm also eager to get another production under the belt. So I've had people ask me for the script, other theater companies across the country. So we'll wait and see.
So we might see Feather Gardens, not necessarily set in Ganasatage/Hudson, but maybe Winnipeg/neighboring community. Like, would that be an option for you to see that change the location?
Absolutely, because at the end of the day, the play is really about the relationship between an Indigenous community, two Indigenous characters, and two non-Indigenous characters, neighbors, and how they live side by side. And, you know, there are hundreds of communities that exist that way in this country. And so, like I said, pardon me again, it's all transferable. Like, it's really just names that change. But I think a lot of places, a lot of people from different parts of the country will be able to recognize their relationships in this story. And so I think it really can go to different spots across this country and across Turtle Island, to be honest with you.
I want you to take off one hat right now and put on your other hat, and that is your role at Geordie Theatre. Fabulous company for families and for kids. You guys have a fun event coming up at the end of the month, August 26th.
We do. It's our second annual family fair. I guess it's our first family fair. Last year, it was called Food Fair. This year, it's Family Fair. It's bigger than it was last year. It's going to be a day full of family fun. We have a whole bunch of things lined up, a whole bunch of acts and performances. We have the Montreal Steppers are going to be there. We have a Japanese drum group that's going to be there. We're presenting our touring show from last year, What If, on our stage. We're going to have a whole bunch of exhibitors, community exhibitors, people there sharing what they do. We're going to have face paint. We're going to have a bouncy castle. We're going to have a barbecue. We're going to have beer. It's just a community event. I think people will be able to recognize that type of day. And that's what we're doing at Jordy. We're being community players, and we're throwing this event on August the 26th in St. Henry, which is our new home. It's been our home for a bit, but we now have a rehearsal hall there as well as our offices. And it's going to be at Georges Etienne Square, which is, for those who know St. Henry, it's the park on Notre Dame with the big fountain in the middle.
As well, you're gearing up for classes and what I'm sure is going to be an amazing school tour season. So lots in store. We'll let you get back to work, Jimmy. Thank you so much for coming on Upstage.
Thanks, Sarah. I appreciate it.
That is Jimmy Blay, who is the playwright of Feather Garden. So he is going to be taking part in a live reading of that play that he wrote. Absolutely wonderful story. It is going to be on Monday evening, 8:30, Place des Festivals. It is free. Part of Présence Autochtone, First Peoples Festival. Lots of cultural programming happening now through to mid-August. So go to présenceautochtone.ca for more information on what you can check out. This event is going to be outdoors, Place des Festivals. If you're interested in Family Fair, Jordy Theater, as he mentioned there, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. on August 26th. That is a Saturday, I believe, right before school starts. And also, you can start to register your kids for theater classes because Jordy also teaches kids about theater and performance. And it's just a really fabulous opportunity to introduce kids to theater. So for more information on that, head to Jordy.ca, Jordic.ca. Love the work that Jimmy does and so glad he could join us. You're listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM. Every Thursday from 6 to 7, we talk about theater here in this beautiful city. When we come back, we're going to find out about a new writing opportunity if you're looking to get published and learn more about the theater community. Have that conversation for you in just a moment. Welcome back to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM and CKUT.ca. We're in the waning minutes of our episode for today, August the 10th. Hope you're staying out of the rain and staying warm, maybe cool. It's cooling off a little bit, but it's still kind of humid out today. One of those rainy evenings. Thursdays really seem to be, in my opinion, in summertime, especially rainy. And I know this because every Thursday I walk to CKUT, and more often than not, I'm bringing my umbrella with me. In any case, rain is awesome, sun is awesome, everything is good. We are going to take a look now at a new initiative coming from the Quebec Drama Federation. It's an advocacy group for English theater in this beautiful city and outside it as well. Theater companies and artists pay memberships to be a part of it. And they do organizing, committees, all kinds of fun things to keep the community close together. Full disclosure, I sit on the communications committee, so I've got an inside ear into some of the things that are coming up. And I was really pleased to hear about a new initiative called the Overture. So if you are a writer and interested in getting some samples out there, getting some experience, or if you're someone who'd like to be profiled, this is something you want to pay attention to. Kat Preston is communications manager at the Quebec Drama Federation, an active member as well in the theater community, and they join us on the line. Hello there, Kat.
Hello, Sarah. How are you doing?
So great. Thank you so much for being here. How are things at the QDF office? I feel like you folks are always busy.
Oh, yes, that's definitely true. We're always finding, you know, new ways to new projects, new initiatives for the theater community. And, you know, the industry and the sector is a constantly changing and evolving thing. So it always keeps us on our toes to try and pivot with our community.
It is a really busy time for QDF and also the theater community in general because fall, September, marks the launch of this season. I'm already getting press releases for coming up. I cannot believe it. it's such a change from the summer months. So you're not only getting ready to do kind of like welcome back to the season events, but you're looking at this thing called Overture. Can you tell me what this is?
Yeah, so this is a project that we've just launched in the last couple of weeks that we're super excited about. But this, you know, it stems from long time conversations that we've been having, you know, in the QDF office, as especially, you know, as we kind of went through the height of the pandemic and lockdowns, and then, you know, reemerged from lockdowns. You know, not only did we, you know, come into a changing and evolving landscape for the theater sector, but also a changing and evolving landscape for the media sector and for the journalism sector as well. And I think definitely something that we noticed in particular was a real need in our community for you know, sustainable arts coverage. And you know, there are so many amazing players within our community, like yourself and people at Cult MTL and Forget the Box, that do amazing coverage for our community. But you know, we're sitting in our office and thinking of how can we supplement those efforts? How can we add additional support to our membership? Because it's such a pivotal, you know, part of promoting and advertising a show is previews and reviews and articles and interviews. So we applied to the Community Services Recovery Fund that is funded by the Government of Canada with this project called the Overture. So it is a media publication that's going to live on our website. And starting in October until June of 2024, we're going to be releasing two previews a month that will spotlight two of our different member companies and the upcoming shows that they have in that particular month, which will be great.
That's so great. So what do we need to know if we'd like to apply? Do I have to be a seasoned writer, tons of writing samples under my belt, or are you looking, you know, are you open to different levels of experience?
We're certainly open to it. So right now we do have a call for writers, and we're accepting applications until Friday the 18th. We're looking for all sorts of people that are interested. It's a great opportunity. Writers will typically be writing kind of 1 month on, 1 month off, kind of four writers separated into two teams that alternate. So it's really we're looking for folks that have writing experience and that have published works. Is definitely something that we are that is definitely an asset. But we're also really interested in people within our community, you know, who write in different ways and who, you know, are also really familiar with the community and who are interested in interviewing people and spotlighting fellow members of their community. So it's certainly a spectrum of people that we're interested in seeing applications from.
So it is going to be paid by the hour, which is kind of cool. So up to 7 hours a month, 1 month, one on, and then take a break the next month, one, and then you're back on. And so $30 an hour, about $210 per article. So that's pretty exciting for someone who might be just starting out or looking to get back into the writing game.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're so excited, thanks to the Community Services Recovery Fund, to be able to provide that opportunity for writers and, you know, to be able to as we do with many of our other programs and services, to, you know, to give back kind of financially into the community, and to be able to, you know, be able to take some of that funding and redistribute it within the sector and within the industry.
Some people might remember that the calendar used to be physically printed and available 3 to 4 times a year. So I kind of miss having that print calendar with little articles and spotlights of things coming up. Are you hoping that this kind of replaces what used to be the printed QDF calendar?
So we sort of have these two initiatives that are happening at the moment. So we recently also launched a digital calendar on our website. So if you go to quebecdrama.org/calendar, you'll be able to find a community calendar that any of our members who have upcoming theatrical projects, whether that's a show, a musical, a cabaret, a workshop, any kind of theatrical event happening, are able to submit into this calendar. And they'll be able to find that on our website, with the goal of, you know, providing further visibility to our membership, you know, with local audiences, and also to provide extra visibility within the tourism sector as well. So really moving into this, you know, this digital advertising, this digital age, and having that pair really nicely with the overture. So you'll definitely see a lot of advertising of the overture on the digital calendar, and vice versa. And we're really hoping that they work very symbiotically. So it's the elements of the print calendar that now exist in digital formats on our website, which make them even more shareable, which help them have an even further, wider reach, a wider visibility, and will hopefully, entice and engage, wider audiences to come and support the really rich and varied shows and projects that are happening in our community right now.
Kat, before I let you go, what can we look forward to for the start of the fall season? What do you have in terms of programming?
We've got some really exciting workshops coming up that we're going to be announcing very, very shortly. We should be announcing them towards the end of the month, which we're so excited for. But we've got all sorts, you know, we've got administrative programming. We've got programming for actors. We've got programming for all sorts of folks that work within the industry, which we're very excited to be launching. So make sure to follow our social media at Quebec Drama on Instagram and Facebook, where we will be launching those workshops very, very shortly.
Oh, wonderful. Kat Preston, thank you so much for the update. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
That is Kat Preston, Communications Manager at Quebec Drama Federation. If you're interested in that opportunity for the overture, call for writers, quebecdrama.org. You can find that pretty easily, call for writers on their site, and you can see all the information there. The application deadline to take part in this initiative, August 18th, so that is a week from tomorrow, and the start date is August 29th. I just think it's a really nice way to get started in writing, to get some bylines if you need that, or maybe get back into writing if you haven't done it in a while. I kind of started out my journalism career writing about theater for community and student newspapers, and loved doing that. And I think this is a really cool way for people to get to learn more about theater companies and other artists kind of one-on-one. Like I said, I sit on the communications committee at QDF, and I'm happy to see this initiative taking place. It is 6:58. Looks like it just started raining again. Xander, you were supposed to go see Foosball tonight, this cool baseball show, like literally happens at baseball fields all across the city, and looks like they've canceled the show because of the weather. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, it seems to be a really bad spot of luck every single time I make plans to go out to take a look at it. We either get rain warnings, thunderstorm warnings, or, you know, like today, where we get tornado warnings as well.
Yes.
It's amazing.
So wild. I'm thinking back to Repercussion Theater last week, canceled their show 1 week tonight in Nuns Island because, yeah, the weather was just not cooperating. You have to do safety first. These are the pitfalls of summer theater. It can turn out so well when you have a beautiful night, but also if it's thundering, you can't put people on stage, whether they're on a stage in a park or in a baseball field. Xander, thanks so much for popping by tonight.
It's always a pleasure. pleasure, Sarah.
We will see you very, very soon. You've been listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM and at CKUT.ca. Thank you to my guests for this evening, Kat Preston at Quebec Drama Federation, playwright Jimmy Blay, see him this Monday evening at Place du Festival, Melanie McRae, operating Montreal Improv, artistic director there, and Dane Stewart. Please listen to his wonderful podcast, Resurrection. You won't regret it. Happy Pride. Please enjoy the festival. There's lots going on, and it concludes on Sunday with the parade at 1 p.m. Enjoy, and much respect to our queer, wonderful community here in the city. Thank you to my guests, and thank you for tuning in. You can hear past episodes of Upstage at ckut.ca under the archives. We will be back next week with more stories about theater in this beautiful city of Montreal. Up next is Grey Matters with my very good friend Fortner Anderson. Have fun, stay dry, stay safe. We will join you next week.
Foreign policy and focus. Her article, Whales Will Save the World's Climate Unless the Military Destroys Them First, was named by Project Censored as one of the top 25 censored stories of 2021-22. She is co-author of The Super Ferry Chronicles, Hawaii's Uprising Against Militarism, Commercialism, and the Desecration of the Earth. This lecture was recorded in Albuquerque, New Mexico on June 25th, 2023. Here it is. It's entitled Arms Race Equals Suicide Race by Kuan Paik Mander.
The darling this season in war spending is the hypersonic missile. They are being designed so that artificial intelligence, or AI, will eventually do most of the thinking to pull the trigger. Diplomacy is not part of the algorithm. It is not programmed in. No one ever factored into the equation what we have now, that one day algorithms would be making the decisions. Algorithms couldn't give a damn about mutual assured destruction or whether the planet is blown up to smithereens. This isn't an arms race, it's a suicide race.
That's Kuan Paik Mander, and this is Alternative Radio. I'm David Barsamian.